Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Christians Unite Radio. I am Nate. Hope you're all having a wonderful evening. This evening, I will be discussing the Word of God sermon that has been in the works for a couple of weeks now. But due to technical difficulties, some scheduling changes, I was unable to do this, but I'm doing it today, so hopefully it all goes well. This is from a collection of sermons by Dr. Chris Benfield. He's a doctor and a theologian in the Christian faith. The book I got, actually, is a series of sermons on many different topics, including sermons from every book of the Bible. So it is a very good collection of sermons, and I'm going to preach on them from time to time, just for future reference. So here we go. Here's the sermon on the Word of God. As we continue our study in the basic biblical doctrine, we come to the foundation for all doctrine, the Word of God, which is the Bible. Oh, by the way, tonight's scripture, these are scriptures, sing sermons. And tonight's scripture is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. So we're going to read that real quick, and then I'll kind of get into the sermon. So I'll read from the New King James Version. So if you have your Bibles, open up to 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, we'll go into the sermon here, and I'll be referencing those three scriptures throughout the sermon. So here we go. As we continue our study in basic biblical doctrine, we come to the foundation for all doctrine, the Word of God. We could not do a complete study, even if it is just a basic overview of biblical doctrine, without considering the source for our own doctrine. We believe the Bible is the sole authority for all of life's faith and practice. Our church is governed according to the Bible. We look to it for guidance, discipline, instruction, hope, and many other things. The Bible is a book like no other. It was written over a period of 1,500 years by over 40 different authors. These included kings and common men, great leaders and shepherds, fishermen and tax collectors, to name a few. It is the only book that deals with all of life without a single contradiction. The Bible has faced great opposition and hatred and countless attempts to destroy it, but it still remains. No book has changed our lives as the Bible. Our text is a wonderful passage that reveals much about the Bible itself. I want to examine the unchanging facts as we consider the Word of God. Now we'll go into some basic bullet points here as we continue on. The purpose of the Scriptures, refer back to verses 14 and 15 of the verses I just read. In these verses, we discover the purpose of the Bible. We have been afforded the privilege of possessing the Word of God for a purpose. God had a plan in mind when He ordained the inspiration and recording of His Word. We find it was given for the following reasons. 1. Revelation. Verse 14 states, but continue thou and the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul urged Timothy to continue in the word, knowing whom he had learned. He had studied the word of God, and through that study he had been introduced to the true and living God. He had pointed to the cross of Calvary, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ through the word of God. Through the word, God revealed himself to Timothy. For many, the Bible is just the centerpiece on the coffee table, a place to record births, marriages, and deaths, a place to keep family heirlooms. God's word is far more than a book to keep dusted. In it, we find the very heart and mind of God. Within its pages, the sovereign nature of God is revealed. It is through the Bible that God is revealed to man. What a blessing we have received. We have the privilege to know God through his revelation to us. God's word contains everything that he wants us to know about him. And in fact, before I go on, I just want to state that everything that we have contained in our current Bibles today is everything that God wants us to know. He left nothing out. So, you know, you hear all the time of these missing Gospels of Thomas, Judas. Those are absurd writings, because one of the main reasons is because they contradict the teachings of Scripture. For instance, if I were to put the Gospel of Thomas in the current collection of books, the Gospel of Thomas contains material that contradicts the rest of Scripture, so it wouldn't go with the rest of Scripture. So, and you find this specifically on secular channels, such as like the History Channel. They like to convince you, oh, there's lost gospels, you know, God forgot to put some gospels in there that we need to know, where he's hiding something from us. That's not true. God loves us, and he cannot contradict himself. He would not hide something from us. So it's important that we understand that we have everything that God wants us to know. That's just my little side comment. But let's get back to the sermon here. Would you not agree that alone makes this a special book to be cherished and loved? Through diligent study, we discover more of our God and our Savior. Do we desire to know more of God and his will for your life? Seek him through the revelation of his word. The Bible is also good for salvation. In verse 15 it states, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Here we discover another glorious purpose of the Bible. Paul reminds Timothy that it was the Bible that led him to Christ and salvation. It was through the word he saw himself in need of salvation that Christ alone could give. We must understand and appreciate the fact that God has given his word to reveal the separation caused by sin and the salvation offered through the Son. Were it not for the word bringing conviction to our hearts, allowing us to see our need of Christ, we would never have come to saving faith in him. We find that we are sinful creatures by nature at enmity with God. The Bible reveals man's inability to save himself and the realization that apart from God, we stand condemned, lost in sin, and destined for an eternity in hell. It is the Bible that reveals it to us what we truly are, sinners. And people tell you all the time that, oh, we're not sinners. That's old time back in the day. I would quote 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, that says, "For if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. See, we are sinners. That's why we need that grace. That's why we need God's saving, cleansing grace of His blood. That's why it's important that we come to Him on the basis of Him and His work and not our own. This leads us into God's purpose, the salvation of man. He wants us to realize the need of salvation and receive salvation through the sacrifice of His Son. God's purpose, the salvation of lost sinners, is revealed through the Bible. The Bible is also good for sanctification. Verses 14 and 15, you can find this section in reading in from the sermon. In the context of these verses, we find a growing process in the life of Timothy. He was introduced to the Lord through the Word, and he continued to read and hear the Word. He realized his need for salvation by faith in what he had heard and read. He received Christ as his Savior. This began the process of spiritual growth brought about through the Word. The Bible ought to be a vital part of our existence. Once we are saved, we are secure in Christ. But there is much more to learn. If we are to be the disciples He would have us be, we must seek instruction in spiritual purity from the Word. As we read and embrace the Word of God, allowing it to transform our lives, we experience the sanctification in God. You will never be all that Christ desires of you if your life is not lived according to His Word. We must submit our lives to God's will revealed through His Word. That will lead to a sanctified life. Now we're going to move on to a different subject in the sermon, the person of the Scriptures. It states verse 15 again. I'm not going to read verse 15 again. The Bible has much to say about the lives of individual people. We find the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great leaders, Moses, Joshua, Samuel, David, great prophets, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, the great New Testament preachers, Peter, Paul, and Silas, and great women, Hannah, Ruth, Mary, and Martha, and many heroes of faith, but they are not the focus. They all point to the Redeemer of men's souls. Jesus is the focus of the Bible. He is the main character. We find Him in the garden, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee and thy woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." He is found in Revelation 22:20. "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." The Bible begins with the prophecy of the coming Messiah, and ends with the prophecy of the returning Lord. He is found in the beginning and the end, and everywhere in between. There are over 300 prophecies concerning Jesus in the Bible. It is written about Him. It is no ordinary book. It is the hymn book. The Bible was given to reveal and exalt Jesus as the only begotten Son of God, Redeemer and Savior of the world. Number 3, the perfection of the Scriptures. Verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Here Paul reveals a fundamental truth that many have a hard time accepting. He speaks of the perfection of Scriptures. There are a couple of areas we need to consider in this. The inspiration. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. all Scripture, not some of it or even most of it, it is given by the inspiration of God. That literally means God breathed. God gave his word as it pleased him through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:20-21. Knowing first that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God as they spake. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We do not possess a portion of God's word. We do not have a book that contains God's words. We have the God-breathed, infallible, eternal Word of God. If I didn't believe that, I would have no authority to preach. If this book only contained God's word, how would anyone know what God was breathed? What was God breathed and what wasn't? God has preserved his word for our benefit. Psalms chapter 12, verses 6-7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Some likely wonder why I am so adamant about God's word. Why do I stand on it as I do? Is it our final authority? Without it, we would have no revelation of God and no means of salvation. We either have God's word or we don't. I am convinced that we do. And we do. We have the whole canon of God's word, and He intended us to have this book so that we could know him. While we are here, I feel I need to address the multitude of translations on the market today. Each is different, and that often raises the question as to how we could possibly have the Word of God with all the differences. We need to understand the basis of the translations. Literal translation. Now we're going to get into kind of describing different definitions of different translations. Literal translation. This is a word-for-word translation, carefully translating each Hebrew or Greek word with an English word with the same meaning. Dynamic equivalent. These translations take the main thoughts or phrases from the original text and translate those thoughts into a contemporary English phrase. So the dynamic equivalent, you're taking the original word and making it more modern. That's what the dynamic equivalent means. Paraphrase. These are written in story form and place emphasis on clarity and ease rather than on what the text originally said. Now, if we are talking about an ordinary book, it likely wouldn't matter much. But we are talking about the inspired Word of God. I am not interested in what someone thought the Lord meant. I am interested in what he actually said. If God said it, I want to know. That's why I preach and teach from the King James text. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Paul reveals that the Bible holds great value for our daily instruction. It is profitable for... Okay, now we're going to define some terms. Doctrine, the sole authority for what we believe and why. Reproof. Reproof means conviction of sin. Correction. Correction means restoration to an upright state to be set right again. Instruction in righteousness. This means dealing with our daily lives, teaching right from wrong, leading us in the ways of God. The provision of the Scriptures. This is our last subject and then the conclusion. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We must keep in mind that Paul is speaking to Timothy, a preacher of the gospel, but every believer can benefit from the provision of Scripture. He speaks of Timothy's progression through maturity, that the man of God may be perfect. Now, here Paul is not insinuating that studying the Bible and applying doctrine will lead to sinless perfection, but rather spiritual maturity. The word perfect has the idea of being complete, sufficient, entirely qualified. If Timothy would give himself to the Word of God, he would receive everything he needed to be successful in his calling and endure in ministry. This goes hand in hand with our sanctification we talked about earlier. As we spend time in God's Word, it molds and matures us, bringing us closer to God. As we mature in Him, many today lack spiritual maturity because they are not feeding on the Word. The second thing it did for Timothy was it helped him prepare for ministry. Timothy had no need to look any further than the Word of God to find all he needed to be equipped for ministry. His personal study and meditation upon the Word would completely equip him to fulfill his calling and to reach others for Christ. All have not been called to preach or pastor, but all believers are called to be a witness. We have a work to do for our Lord. If we are to be fully prepared, we cannot neglect the Word of God. Through it, we find direction, strength, purpose, and a host of other valuable necessities for service. If you desire to fulfill all that God has for you to do, you must be committed to the Word. You know, wrapping up the sermon, I am certainly thankful for the Word of God. I am amazed that God would reveal Himself to us through the Word, but I rejoice that He did. There is much in life that I am unsure of, but the Scriptures are not in that category. I am fully persuaded that we have the complete Word of God without error. Through it, we discover our depravity and our need for salvation. It is through the Word that we see the gospel of Christ, and through the conviction of the Spirit, we respond in salvation. God's Word is precious. I hope you never lose sight of that fact. We are blessed to have His Word and the ability to read and learn of God. What does the Word mean to you? Is it just an old, archaic book filled with many stories that seem hard to believe, or do you believe it to be the inspired Word of God? Have you experienced conviction through the presentation of the gospel found within its pages? Have you responded to the leading of the Spirit as He pointed you to Christ for salvation? If not, will you come and allow me to share the gospel with you from God's Word? All right, now that was a sermon collected by Dr. Chris Benfield. That's the author of the collection of sermons. So I hope you enjoyed that sermon. I do want to remind everybody that I will be on a one-week sabbatical from social media. I'm taking this time to sort of refocus, get re-energized in the Word, and do some more studying of the Word myself. That's why I'm recording this show in advance. I hope you all have a great week. I will be back with a live show on March 30th. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do my topic on. My pastor wants to mention something to me about coming on there, so I'm going to check with him and see if that's something he still wants to do and what we're going to talk about. So I hope you've all enjoyed the show. Have a blessed week. Take care, and God bless.